Welcome, my friends, to episode 47 of Little Cabin Knits. Gnomes, gnomes, gnomes! Little Cabin Knits is a bi-weekly podcast all about knitting, mental health, advocacy, and life happenings here in the wilds of Alaska, with a little bit of hygge sprinkled throughout. I'm your host, Emily. I'm a knitter, crafter, mental health therapist, and explorer of my home state of Alaska. This week's episode contains administration, spotlight, raise a cuppa, on the shelf, on the couch, personal skill set, a time for hygge, and contemplation corner. So grab a cuppa of your choice, my friends, settle back and listen in, or, you know, listen to me while you're doing your chores or pretending to have a conversation with your, you know, partner, while instead you're really just listening to me in your ears. In your head buds or whatever they're called. But let's just settle back in and talk about our favorite subject, knitting. Administration. Well, my friends, you can find me on the interwebs as Anders Mill Knits, and I also have a YouTube channel called Between Knits and Purls. And we will be hosting a live knit together on my co-host Stephanie's birthday, which is September 4th. I still don't know the time yet. I got to get that nailed down. But I'd love for you guys to join us on our YouTube channel. We have an amazing giveaway for that day. And then we're going to be taking a month-long hiatus because I will be getting married and then immediately going on my honeymoon. And it just was going to be awkward trying to record while I'm on my honeymoon. But you can also find the show notes for both the YouTube channel and Little Cabin Knits on the website, blog, whatever you want to call it, which is https://andersmillknits.wixsite.com/website. I always get that wrong. But anyway, and if you'd like to get a hold of me, you can either message me on Instagram as Anders Mill Knits, you can message me on Ravelry as Anders Mill Knits, or you can email me at littlecabinknitsak@gmail.com. Spotlight. Well, today, my friends, I wanted to highlight one of my longtime favorite, I think I say that every time I say I do a spotlight, the Imagined Landscape podcast, which you can find on, well, I know I can find it on Apple Podcasts, and my podcatcher gets it, and I know that they are on Stitcher as well, so probably all the major podcatching networks out there. So this podcast is hosted by two sisters from the prairie land of Canada, and their names is Sarah, also going by Imagined Landscapes on the internet, and Katie goes by, I never know, is it Rora 114? I think it's R-O-R-A 114. And these wonderful sisters have been podcasting with 124 episodes. I love these ladies. The love they have for each other just shines through in every episode. They know each other forward and backwards. And I never know if they're podcasting in the same room or if they're doing it over telephone, but it always just feels like they're in the same room. I don't know. It just feels like it. And these sisters are very crafty and, well, you know, they're just very knowledgeable. I love hearing about their love of sci-fi and fantasy, their love of board games, and many of the board games they play I have never even heard of, but it's so fun to listen to them talk about them and to hear their adventures. Well, I mean, their adaptations of life through COVID has been really kind of reinforcing and warming to me. Also, Sarah, who, like I said, goes by Imagined Landscape, is a prolific and very talented knitwear designer. Well, knitting designer. She is famous for her gnome patterns that she has out everywhere. And you'll see in a little bit that I have been partaking of her patterns, and I am so excited to talk about them. I would highly recommend going over and listening. If you haven't listened to them, I mean, just start from episode one. You won't want to stop listening. And there's 124 of them, so you'll have months of good listening time in your headphones. So that's Imagined Landscape. And again, you can find them on all the podcatching networks that I know of. Raise a cuppa. Well, my friends, things are really gearing up for the wedding. I am so excited. Just today, Mr. Radio got a huge package in the mail. And at first he told me, oh, I ordered some more emergency food rations. And I was like, okay, that's how he likes to spend his extra money. And he does. We have a good 3 months worth of emergency rations stored up. And I'm very grateful that he is looking out for us in that way. But then, moments later, he plopped the open box down in front of me and stood back. And I was a little confused. I was eating my lunch, having my lunch break, and I was just like, okay. So I looked down, and then I literally gasped in shock. Then I started shaking a little bit, I'll admit it. And I said, I just don't understand. And Mr. Radio replied, happy wedding gift, my love. I just couldn't wait to give this to you. So, what was it? It was a shacked spinning wheel, my friends. I'm still giggling. Oh, it was just awesome. And oh, it was great. Okay, so I started squealing, and then I was jumping up and down and hugging him. And I was just having such an amazing moment. You see, because I started spinning about 5 years ago, or maybe even longer, I think. However, when I moved back to Alaska after my divorce in Oregon, I had to sell my spinning wheel to pay for my car's passage or shipping back up here to Alaska. It's very expensive. Just try to avoid that if you can. Then, when I was up here, a dear friend of mine who thought she might love spinning, but she restored an antique spinning wheel and discovered that she didn't really love it. So she gave me her antique spinning wheel. And this thing was a little bit rickety, very fragile. And so when I moved back from Kenai to Anchorage, it broke in transit. And it's probably my fault. I probably didn't pack it very well in the car. Yeah, I was not very pleased about it, and I still can't figure out how to fix it. So I've been unable to spin for over 2 years at this point. And the thing is, Mr. Radio got me the exact spinning wheel I've been wanting, the shacked sidekick, and it's even in the color that I wanted, I guess I should say now, which is teal. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's birch, or at least it's a blonde wood with the teal wheel, and I just can't wait to see it in action. So I wondered, how did Mr. Radio know that I wanted a spinning wheel? Because I don't really talk about that very much, or I don't think I really have talked about it at all in quite a long time. But he said that he remembered from over a year ago just my mentioning in passing that I wanted to replace my spinning wheel. And so he just got this brilliant light bulb and went hunting for it for my wedding gift. Ugh, it's just, I'm just so happy. There was, however, a little disappointment. I'm not disappointed at all. I'm totally fine. But, you know, Mr. Radio, he's not a crafter. He's not a spinner. And so when he purchased the spinning wheel, he didn't realize that he needed to order the whirl and the bobbins. So the package we got today didn't come with them. So sadly, I still can't spin as I need to get my grubby little hands on those items. But in the meantime, I'm putting my new spinning wheel in pride of place in my living room, and I list all day. Like, I keep leaving my office to go out into my living room to check is it really here? Is that really mine? And then I touch it and just kind of caress it a little bit. I'm just like, this is real. I have a spinning wheel again. And it's a new one. I've never had a new one. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. Oh, so I just plan on letting it just lure me in slowly. And this, my friends, is what I feel love is all about. It's not about the gift, but it's about the fact that Mr. Radio listened to me, not only listened to me, but remembered this. And he knows how much my crafting, it feeds my soul and really is my self-care. And he doesn't ever complain about it. He does giggle a little bit sometimes. Well, I mean, he never really giggles. He chuckles about all the yarn that's around the house and all the half-finished projects that I leave here and there and everywhere in between. But he never complains. He's always so encouraging. And that, my friend, is what love is about. It's about encouraging and promoting the well-being and self-care and just making your partner's dreams come true. Now, I'm not talking about extravagant dreams. I'm just talking about this feeling of knowing that you are seen and loved. And I know that he sees and loves me. And that, oh, one of the many reasons why I know I'm in love with him. So my knitting friends, if you know of anyone selling their shacked whirl and bobbins, you know, you can just send them my way. Otherwise, the wedding plans are moving forward. We'll talk about that in a minute about my crafty side of things, about on the shelf. But one thing I did want to mention is one of my dear friends on Instagram sent me her I don't want to call them leftovers because they're not leftovers, but she had gathered up all of her wedding paraphernalia and decorations that she had from her wedding back in the day. And she messaged me one day and she's like, I think my colors are almost the same colors as yours. Could I send you all of my wedding stuff? And I was like, yes, please. And so I got those in the mail the other day and I took some silly photos of me just, you know, lounging back in the plethora of fake flowers, which I'm very grateful for. Because fake flowers are so expensive, but that's also the way I kind of wanted to go, because also real flowers are extremely expensive. So, you know, give or take. And I just took lots of pictures of me, and inside there were multiple mini wreaths of flowers. And then there were two, what I'm guessing is bridesmaids bouquets, and two boutonnieres. So I am so happy, so excited. I just can't wait. And it's so lovely. I don't have to clean these because they're perfectly clean. Like I cleaned my last bunch of flowers that I got from Goodwill that were extremely dusty, but quite a good deal. And they are my perfect colors. It's just, I love my knitting friends. You guys are so wonderful. Other than that, pardon me, I don't have COVID. It's just I swallowed wrong. Other than that, I am super nervous and not just a little bit, but rather largely anxious, because we learned this week that our foundation will be fixed starting Monday. So construction starts Monday, and here's what's going to happen. They are going to dig out all of the yard around my building I can't remember if they said 8 or 10 feet down. And so I'll have a moat and a makeshift boardwalk / ramp to get in and out of my house for a couple weeks. They said that the work will be going on from 8 in the morning till about 6 at night with lots of men folk and women folk around. They will be most likely, we are still not sure, but most likely it sounds like they will be ripping out my entire bathroom, about half of my kitchen and its floor, and all of my dining room floor. in order to put down 26, I believe. They're not pylons. They're these newfangled things. They had a really special name for them, but they were supposed to be the most up-to-date and secure pillars or foundation thingamabobbers to make it so that the next time we have an earthquake up here in Alaska, our building won't sink, won't crack as it is now. I may have mentioned a few times in the past that Mr. Radio owns this condo that we live in, and our building during the last earthquake, it got damaged pretty darn badly. In fact, ours is the worst in our condo complex, and so they decided to start with ours first. And they told us today that our building actually leans about 18 inches from one side to the other. And I've giggled in the past about this fact that sometimes when I walk down my hallway, I get a little dizzy and I might kind of fall into the wall because I lose my footing because of the way the house is leaning. And then in our living room, in order to make the place livable and safe, they put in a beam that runs from one end of the building to the other. Only the problem is that the building continued to sink. So what happened was is the beam stood firm and the building sunk around it, which then caused our living room to have a sort of tent-like or a pitch in the middle of it. Not exactly comfortable. And I've tripped over it, I have stumbled, I have, things have gone flying out of my hands, such as groceries and stuff, because I've stumbled over it as I've walked through the living room. And all in all, our living experience in this condo is livable, but it is uncomfortable as well. And so they're starting on Monday, and I just found out about this 3 days ago. And the way I found out is because I cornered the foreman who I saw wandering around the property. And so I tracked him down and said, "What's going on?" They're like, "Oh, you haven't heard? Here's what's happening." And I'm like, "No, no one has said anything to us." Oy. So I've explained to them that I'm pretty anxious because we are getting married in 3 weeks. And to have my entire life disrupted, I can't work here while all of this is going on, because I won't be able to concentrate and my dog will be getting completely upset whenever people are around like that. And because, he has to protect us, right? He's got to protect his property and his people. And so he's got to bark and let them know that he is the protector here. And then people will be traipsing in and out of our house, tearing the house apart, putting in pillars. There'll be loud noises and I have to work. And so we're not really sure what's going to happen. There's a couple possibilities where I may stay with my parents and Mr. Radio will continue to try and stay here to make sure that everything stays safe in the house. We may both maybe move into his parents' house. That's up on what we call the hillside here in Anchorage, which is a very beautiful home. And they have the room we might, but we do know for sure that this weekend we have to clear out all of the bottom shelves in the kitchen. We have to clear out all of my knitting stuff because that is all stored in the master bedroom, which is also my office. Because, I forgot to mention, they are tearing out all of the flooring in at least the master closet, if not further into the room. I feel like I need to get all of our precious belongings out of here. I would like to say that I know that people are trustworthy and things like that, but there are some heirlooms and some antiques and some precious things in here that I just don't want to take any chances that something could be taken. So you know that I will be taking my new spinning wheel out of this apartment for now, or condo. So it's a lot. Can you hear the anxiety in my voice? However, I am still happy. I am still excited. This wedding will go forward and we will all be blissfully in love, right, my friends? Everything will turn out peachy in the end. That is my mantra for today. on the shelf. No, your ears are not deceiving you. I do have an FO. I have an on-the-shelf project. And that, my friends, is finally The Bunting Fit for a Queen by Vero Pepperell. And this is a free pattern on Ravelry, and I highly, 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 highly recommend it for you. Just a little reminder, I used the yarn Madeline Tosh in the fingering weight for the bunting in colorways Tacienda, Barbara Deserved Better, and Glazed Pecan. The marathon is over. I can put down my needles so far as bunting is concerned. But you know, it's so funny because the other day I was needing to go somewhere and I wanted some mindless knitting. And at this point, after I've knit over 50 bunting flags, I actually grab some scrap yarn and my needles and I cast on another bunting flag. Even though I don't need it, I still cast it on as my mindless knitting project because, you know, I kind of have it memorized, right, at this point. Now, all the ends are woven in and each and every one has been blocked. And I have begun the arduous process of stringing them up on a ribbon. Or multiple ribbons, because they're going in different places for the reception. Now, I say arduous task because making the ribbon not twist and look haphazard has been a real challenge. I want it to look just so, and I'm not satisfied until it looks just so, and sometimes that means I have to remove some bunting flags and then replace them with in a very methodical fashion, and then I have to try and tease the ribbon at other times to make it just lie just so. But when I have it done, it's going to be fantastic. And I am persevering, even though my patience is a tiny bit thin at this point. But the end is in sight, and technically I'm calling this an FO because the bunting flags themselves, which is the knitting portion, is all done. So that, my friends, is on the shelf. On the couch. Well, I've got lots of stuff to share with you today. The first is an old friend at this point, my Snowberry cowl or shawl, but I think that she actually calls it a Snowberry wrap. It's by Shannon Cook, who is a very talented designer. And I am using the yarn Alaska Jude's yarn in her superwash wool, in her worsted weight, and I'm calling it a monster skein, even though she doesn't name her weights or her bases, and because the cake comes with 8 ounces and over 560 yards. It's astounding. And the colorway itself doesn't have a colorway either. I mean, the yarn itself doesn't have a colorway name. It is in soft greens and blues and with little tiny, I know this sounds odd, but splotches or little patches of white that peek through here and there. And it is just beautiful. I love it. Now, recently I led a 2-day manager retreat, and when I wasn't leading a discussion or presenting my own topic or introducing a speaker, I was knitting on my Snowberry cowl. And as a result, I got another 6 inches done on this. Still, the bobbin sections are my favorite. So there is garter sections, bobble sections, and lace sections. And the way they play off of each other, the different textures, the different, like, harshness and grandioseness compared to the lace sections. Oh, it's so fabulous. That's the word, fabulous. But I love the bobble section. I love knitting it. I love seeing how they look when they're done, especially as they're lying against the garter stitch fabric behind them. It just, I kind of squeal a little bit each time. And I'm getting pretty good at them because I was able to knit a whole bobble stitch section while I was in the manager retreat. And I was like, wow, you go, girl. You're getting pretty good at this. So, you know. So that's my Snowberry Cowl by Shannon Cook. The next one is my wedding socks, and this pattern is Tea and Scandal by This Handmade Life. And I'm using the yarn Three Sisters Fiber in the colorway Faded Rose on her Moxie base using 1.5 US needles. Now, this is a wah-wah project because I am very disappointed. Here's the thing. I had the project by my spot on the couch one night, and the next night, I couldn't find it anywhere in the house. Seriously, I couldn't find it anywhere. I still can't find it. I tore my living room and my office space apart because they're the only two places that I knit in the house. And I've been looking for it, but sadly, it still remains a mystery as to where this went. So I've resigned myself that I may not have wedding socks to wear on the day of my wedding, and I'm still sad about that. So I have one completed sock, and I am on the foot of the second sock, and if I ever find it before the wedding, I will concentrate and get it done. But you know what? There's so much going on that at the same time, I'm a tiny bit relieved that that portion of a project for the wedding is off my plate. So maybe subconsciously, I hid my project like under the rug or in the bathroom. I don't know where I did, just so that I wouldn't have to knit on it. I don't know, folks, but I am still sad because the socks themselves are gorgeous. It's fun to knit the lace, and it doesn't hurt my brain like some lace does. And the effect is just stunning. And I was so looking forward to wearing them with these really stunning and fun heels that I found that for my wedding day, which, by the way, I haven't worn heels in like 20 years. So I need to break those bad boys out and practice walking on grass versus hard floors because I don't want to be stumbling down because I've lost my footing. And I also don't want to look like I'm walking on stilts at the same time. So I need to be working on that. So the next thing on my needles is Not Just Another Gnome. And this is by Sarah Shearer of the Imagine Landscapes audio podcast. You know, the one I just spotlighted. The yarn I'm using is leftovers from the bunting in Madeline Tosh fingering weight, and I'm using Tassienda and glazed pecan. Now, this gnome is one of two that I'm knitting for our quote-unquote cake toppers for the wedding. Now, we're not having cake. We are actually having donuts with a really monster large donut for Mr. Radio and I to have. And so I guess I'll be setting the gnomes on top of the middle part of the donut for Mr. Radio and I to cut, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, this one, this gnome is Mr. Radio's. And the hat is the green colorway and the body is the golden brown. And when I look at it just so, it kind of reminds me of a tree, which really makes me happy. And this pattern has cables going up the hat and running down the sides of the body with some texture stitches and reverse stocking neck stitches for both the body and the hat so that the cables pop a whole lot more. So I'm really enjoying this. Now, I have all the pieces done. The body is stuffed and all sewed up, and I just need to attach the beard, the arms, and the nose to the body for the finishing touches. But I am really bad at finishing things, and I have had all the pieces done since Sunday, and it is now Thursday. They've been blocked and everything. When I do finishing things like this, it always turns out badly. So I'm almost contemplating asking my niece, one of my nieces that has been on the show a couple times now, who is very meticulous and very focused on these things and does things just right. I'm kind of thinking that I'll gather these things up and take them over to my mother's house this weekend and ask her to just sew them on. You know, I can cheat that way. It's totally fine. I don't want this to look, you know, clumsy for the day, you know, and everything else so far is just perfect. So I want to continue that perfect stream. Now, here's a little tip. So I stuffed buttons at the bottom of the gnome as the weights to assist in him standing up. Now, Sarah, in her pattern, she suggests using weighted pellets, But since I don't have any of those, and I do have a ridiculous amount of random buttons, I made do with what I had, and it worked like a peach. It is great. And I'll just say one last thing about the pattern. I haven't knit cables in probably over 5 years. I'm just guessing. Because cables and I are not friends. I do them wrong, I lose stitches, and I did lose 2 stitches during the making of this gnome, but I was able to rectify that. I was quite proud of myself. Thank you very much. And the cabling wasn't bad in the end. I actually really, really enjoyed it. So Not Just Another Gnome is probably, I would say, 98% finished. It just needs to be, you know, the finishing touches put on. It's just so cute. And Mr. Radio, who does not like gnomes, he thinks they're creepy. He finally admitted to me the other night that he thinks my gnome that I knit for him, that represents him, is very cute, and he can't wait to see it done. So, score 1 for Emily, my friends. Now, the last thing I have on my needles is the Gnome de Plume. This is also by Sarah Shearer of Imagine Landscapes. And in this one, so this is my donut or wedding cake topper. And I am using leftovers from some old projects. So for the hat, I'm using a mystery scrap yarn. I literally cannot find the where I know I've used it in projects. I mean, I can even see the project I've used it on, but I am terrible at Ravelry. I don't list the projects half the time that I make. In fact, I don't think any of the ones that I've mentioned today as being on my needles is listed on Ravelry. So, I don't know what this yarn was called. I've lost the tag. So, and of course I didn't record it anywhere, so there you go. Well, but this yarn is absolutely gorgeous. It's in soft pinks and peaches. It's a speckle, and it's just lovely. There's a little bit of speckly browns in there, and everything is just soft and lovely, and it reminds me very much of a calm English garden, but one that isn't popping with color. You know, you're just very peaceful when you see it. And for the body, I'm using the leftovers from my A Julius top by my good friend Alexandra Wagner, which I don't know if I mentioned, but I actually went to dinner with Alex about a month ago, and we had such a good time. We were talking and laughing so much, we didn't even remember to get out our knitting. That's how bad it was. Our lives have been so busy. Sarah has been doing a lot of traveling for her work, you know, she's a bug scientist. I can't remember the real name for that. So, and of course, me getting married and, you know, I've talked too much about my work life, so we're not getting into that, but it's a lot. And so we haven't been able to see each other since, but I look forward to the future when I get back from my wedding to seeing her again. And I am knitting, using my leftovers from her A Julius top, which I adore and have worn it 3 times in the last 2 weeks, which is our Mad Tosh Twist Light in the copper pink colorway. And I just think that that will be so lovely sitting up next to my gnome, my gnome de plume sitting up next to Mr. Radio's gnome on the donut topper is going to be fabulous. And I am again going to use buttons to weight down the bottom of my gnome so she can sit up. And I have grand plans of putting these gnomes on our fireplace mantle to have for many years to come. So, lastly, I'm about 3/4 of the way through the hat, and I can't wait to knit. There's these cute little leaves that trail off the end or the tip of the hat, and it's going to be so cute. Now, the hat itself so the whole gnome is just like it escaped from the garden, and I love it. So the hat is reverse stocking net with twisted stitches, and the cutest little blooms popping up here and there. And then the body is knit in plain stocking knit, which I believe just really highlights the hat design even more. And so that, my friends, is what is on the couch. Personal skill set. Let it flow. So, my friends, today's personal skill set is a sort of flow of consciousness around my feelings and thoughts on self-care. I have podcasted about self-care many times on this podcast, so I don't feel like I need to regurgitate what I've said there. At the same time, I didn't write up any thoughts today or do any research on the subject. It's just what's been on my mind a lot lately, and oddly enough, it's come up quite a few times in the last few weeks with many of the case managers that I coach and teach and train here at my organization. So I wanted to try and extrapolate as best I can the thoughts that I've been having around this. So each day I have an expectation of myself to do self-care. And that self-care is usually not limited to one thing. In the morning, I wake up early and I start my day by writing down my to-do list, making sure I have all my meetings set up and ready to go, and that I know who I need to email. I even make a list of the emails I need to send. And that's a lot, just that right there. But to me, that's my time for reflection and organizing my thoughts. And that is good, okay? But on this list of to-do things, I usually list the following. That for self-care, I need to take a walk if it's not raining, like it is pouring down today, like really coming down in sheets and has been for the last couple weeks. To meditate, usually I do that in the morning right before I start work. To journal, to knit, and to read. And I expect this of myself every single day, to do all of those things on top of all of the responsibilities that I already have each day. And my thought process has always been that by doing these things, I am filling up my energy cup because I am doing self-care, right? However, what I've noticed over the past couple months is that some of these things have become burdensome and that I am feeling really burnt out on self-care, on like expected rigid self-care. And this all came to a head a couple weeks ago when we went on my birthday camping trip. Now, you may remember from my last episode that I said on that day, I sat down and I journaled about my past decade as it was coming to a close, because I'm now 40, and my hopes and dreams for the next decade of my life. And that process was really difficult for me because many of the traumas that I experienced in my life, a great many of them happened in the last 10 years. And as I reflected on them, a lot of feelings of hurt and anger and disappointment and fear and a whole host of other feelings came back up. And I noticed that my anxiety was ramped up as a result. And even after I did my whole dunk in the lake thing, I still felt that heavy presence on me as we continued with the camping. And I didn't want to bring down Mr. Radio with how I was feeling. And the next day I went to pick up my journal and I had it in my hands and I actually couldn't open the pages or pick up the pen. And I set it aside and I haven't opened it since. And I'm feeling rather good about that at the moment. I have found that my journaling process each day took up a very large chunk of my evenings. And while that is beneficial and healthy and something that in order for people to process their thoughts and emotions from the day is very, well, like I said, beneficial. At the same time, for me, oftentimes it brings up emotions that are not resolved, and then I'm unable to resolve them during my journaling process, so they carry through with me into my dreams and into the next day. And that's very difficult. What I've noticed since I've stopped journaling is that I have not been thinking as much about those past difficulties or traumas. Now, we all know that I love journaling. And I will gladly say that I still love journaling. And ironically, if ever there was a time to journal, now would be the time as I'm transitioning into this new period of my life. However, I just feel like it's not right for me at this time. Perhaps I see this podcast as a sort of journaling exercise, you know, spending this time with you, telling you of my thoughts, my dreams, what I'm knitting on, working on. Speaking of knitting, knitting itself can become a pressure. So for instance, I have, like I've mentioned, a YouTube podcast called Between Knits and Purls, and I also have this audio podcast. And I feel a great deal of responsibility to have content to share with you. So if I'm not knitting, I don't have content to share with you. So now I have a responsibility, and now my self-care of knitting has turned into a chore or a pressure at times. Add to that, I have expectations that I knit for others. My expectations that I make this wedding filled with hand-knit objects. And so there's a lot of I put a lot of pressure on myself to perform and to provide these items, because I am known by my friends and family and my knitting community as a crafter, as a knitter. And so I feel like it would be odd if I didn't have those things on display at my wedding. And at the same time, though, that same expectation is a pressure that sometimes causes me to feel a bit of resentment toward what I have deemed as one of my most precious self-care activities, knitting. So what am I saying here? All of these things is happening in my head, in my heart. I think I need to do a refresh on my self-care. I need to reevaluate the demands that I put on myself to do the things that people around the world say refill your cup and give you energy to keep going and help you heal from whatever's going on inside your mind or your heart. I was talking to a case manager today, and it was interesting because they were saying that they too feel a great pressure to do what is expected of them in self-care, because we talk about it so often in our organization. And we talk about it so often in our organization because if you aren't refilling your cup, rejuvenating yourself, the act of being a case manager working with the homeless population or houseless population can be very draining, disappointing, hurting of yourself. And so we can see what happens as a burnout or a blunting of empathy towards our clients. And we don't want to see that. But in addition to that, we just want our employees and our coworkers to feel uplifted when they come to work and not downtrodden. And so we promote, and I promote quite strenuously, self-care. I mean, I just finished 30 days of self-care right here on this podcast and with my coworkers, right? So what's the answer? Like I said, I think it's a process of reevaluating my own expectations for my own self-care and honestly forgiving myself of not meeting always those supposed expectations and demands. So I ask you, what demands are you putting on yourself in this realm or any other realm of your life that may be causing you to feel too much pressure, which leads to resentment and then leads to you angrily lashing out at other people, pushing things aside that normally you love to do, and so forth, right? So what is it that you do in your life that is causing you distress, but that in normal circumstances would actually be something you thrived on? So I want to invite you to take a look at that, as I've been taking a look at it in my own life. I don't have the answer. I don't know what this means as far as my self-care. I do know that I love taking my walks with my dog. I love meditating, and I love to knit. I think that removing the demand that I take a walk every single day, that I meditate every single day, and that I knit every day would be very wise on my part. and just allow myself to, when the energy and when the inspiration strikes me, to follow that and rejoice in the following of that. I get, you know, like the coworker I was speaking to today was saying, it's like your gut instinct is telling you what you need. And I think that's what I and so many other people in this world have lost, is that gut instinct of knowing what you actually need. So follow that gut instinct, my friends, and let it flow. I know I'm going to strive to do this. And normally I would say that I would report back, but again, that would be a demand on me that I follow through on all of this and then report back to you, which is a responsibility that I honestly don't want or can handle at this point. So I will forgive myself of that, and I will just say thank you for hearing my flow of consciousness, and I hope that this was as helpful for you as it was for me to tell you about. A time for Hygge. Over the last year and a half, I have given you a lot of little ideas for practicing Hygge in your own home and in your own life. So today, in honor of what I was just talking about in Personal Skill Set, entitled Let It Flow, I'm going to invite you to embrace that as in your Hygge lifestyle, if that's what you do. Just do what you want with it. No rules, no suggestions from Emily. Just do what makes you feel comfortable and loved today. Contemplation Corner. You're Thinking Too Much, Just Let It Flow, by E. Palazuk. Well, my friends, episode 47 is now coming to a close. I had more to say than I thought I did. Oh my, this is definitely going to be at least an hour-long episode, but I'm okay with that because I had such a great time speaking with you. I can't knit and record at the same time. Maybe there are some podcasters out there that can, but I'm not one of them. And I have really enjoyed catching up with you, telling you about my new spinning wheel and about the dreaded construction coming up and about the wonderful wedding plans still in the works, as well as what's been on my needles and on my mind and heart of recent late. So thank you so much for joining me. And remember, my dear ones, to knit what you love and love what you knit. Ta-ta for now. Well, hello, my dear friends, and welcome to episode 48, presenting the new Mrs. Radio. I'm your host, Emily, and I welcome you to another episode of Little Cabin Knits, which is a bi-weekly podcast. Well, it's supposed to be, but you know, things have been going on around here. And it's all about knitting, mental health, advocacy, and life happenings here in the wilds of Alaska, with just a little bit of Hygge sprinkled throughout. And as I said, I'm your host, Emily. I'm a knitter, crafter, mental health therapist, and explorer of my home state of Alaska. This week's episode contains administration, spotlight, raise a cuppa, on the shelf, on the couch, a special segment of wedding and honeymoon recap with Mr. Radio, and finally, I've forgotten what my last segment is called, Contemplation Corner. So sit back, grab a cuppa of your choice, maybe a knitting or crafting project that you may be working on, and let's get to talking knitting and everything about Mr. and Mrs. Radio's wedding and honeymoon trip.